And now for something completely different. You know, old guys like me, I'm 60 years old. I think we have a tendency to tell our kids and the younger generations to save your money for retirement, give up your current pleasures and defer gratification. And, you know, they look at us cross-eyed, you know, it's all good on paper, but is it actually necessary? You know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, I don't really give this advice. I believe in living your life while at the same time being sensible about your money. And so does my next guest, finance expert and author of You're So Money, Live Rich Even When You're Not. I welcome Farnoosh Torabi to the show. Welcome, Farnoosh.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Your contemporaries, those that you speak with and that you've interviewed, and these are people that are also my kids' age, are they going to listen to people like me when it comes to getting advice about money?
Well, I think in the heart of hearts, they know that your advice is solid. They know that their parents only want the best for them and that the older generation is speaking from experience and that it's valid. But at the end of the day, I think contemporaries want to hear from their contemporaries. They much more value the advice from a peer than an uncle or an aunt or a parent. Mm-hmm. And I think that would probably be true when you look back when you were in your 20s and your 30s. You know, you kind of, you know, shrugged off what mom and dad said, even though you knew it was good advice. It meant more to hear it from a contemporary who was maybe in your own shoes, living through some of the same experiences you were. And so my approach to educating young adults is not to dismiss the traditional ideas and values that I know work and I see have worked, but it's all about how you package the message. It's all about the language that you use. It's all about kind of trying to get to see eye to eye with young adults and to understand that, you know, they're working hard, but they're struggling too. They have student loans. Sure. They have perhaps credit card debt. They're not making enough money. And then on top of everything else, they're young. So they want to go out to eat. They want to hang out with their friends. Yeah. The social life is a big part of the equation, and how to afford that is getting more challenging. So I think to kind of show some sympathy and to kind of talk to them more one-on-one, I think that goes a long way. And I think that's what's more appreciated than what comes from an older parent, which at times just feels like a lecture as opposed to really good advice.
You mentioned the word messages. What are the current media messages that are being transmitted to your generation with regards to saving and spending? What are the pressures that you guys are under?
Well, for me, my message has always been, you know, you want to live beyond your means, but spend within them. In other words, you know, try to still achieve the goals that you want to achieve, whether it's to buy a home, buy a car, go back to school, start a business, start a family. You have to sort of think outside the box. And I think that's the challenge right now is that for young adults working, a lot of the tried and true ways of achieving goals are falling through the cracks. They're not really working. So, you know, it used to be you would just, you know, take out a loan for college and you would finish college and you would pay off that loan easily and you'd be done with it within 10 years. But now what's happening is the price of college is escalating, student loan debt is escalating, and then the jobs aren't really there to support the debt. So what's happening is that the values and the goals have remained, but the challenge now is how to achieve those very same things that our parents achieved in a way that's economically feasible.
You know, when I was, Farnoosh, when I was growing up, it was okay to spend on your credit card, to live beyond your means. We've seen that kind of come full circle. What is the attitude towards debt these days amongst your contemporaries?
Well, it's a work in progress. I think that a lot of young adults are learning the hard way that you really can't take on a $80,000 student loan or even, you know, in some cases I hear hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is just a nightmare situation. But unfortunately, a lot of young adults are learning the hard way that there is a point to which it's going to be really hard to pay off debt, no matter how much you earn, and that you really need to take a more measured approach to, you know, the kind of debt that you take on and how much debt you take on. And that's part of my job is to really educate young adults. I've recently spoke with a young woman who graduated from college with about $40,000 in student loans. And before she was even going to figure out how to pay that off, she was looking at law school. And, you know, I really had to level with her and say, why do you want to go to law school? You know, what's your goal? What's this going to do for you? And how are you going to pay for this? Because it's a big undertaking financially, and I don't want to deter you from pursuing your dreams, but you really need to be practical. And so I think when you're young, you know, you're very idealistic. it's very easy to make bad decisions and uneducated decisions
that
haunt you for years.
I think you think that things are just going to kind of take care of themselves. And, you know, many times, actually, many times they do. My guest is finance expert and author of You're So Money, Live Rich, Even When You're Not, Farnoosh Torabi. Let's get to some specifics. You talk about the idea of putting yourself first. This kind of sounds selfish, but why is that the right thing to do?
Because no one cares more about your money than you. And at the end of the month, I find that a lot of people struggle to save. So why not try to save at the beginning of the month? You should prioritize your saving and put yourself first because, you know, between your friends and between all the pressure that you have to spend money in different ways, that money's going to go away before you even know it. And so I say, you know what, this is the me generation after all. So this is again about packaging the message in a way where that they can relate to it.
Wait a minute, Farnoosh. I thought I was the me generation. You guys
are
too?
I guess it's a phase, right? We all go through the phase. It's not really a generational thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Gen Y is characterized very much as like this, you know, me, self-centered generation, which I would, you know, argue that it's not. I think that in every generation, there are some people that ruin the image for everybody else. I think that Gen Y is actually a very hardworking generation. They've been raised at a different pace. They expect things to happen instantly because you were raised on the internet.
How true.
And, you know, they don't have the patience level as, you know, their parents, but that's not to say that they're not willing to work hard and, you know, pay their dues.
So you're talking about paying yourself first.
But paying yourself first.
Yeah. What does that do for you? Why is that important?
Because if you really want to adapt a savings behavior, you got to sort of address that at the beginning of the month and think of it as, you know, doing yourself a favor. You work so hard. Why not save some of that money immediately for you? You know, again, because this is a very, you know, sort of me generation, let's use that sort of self-centeredness in a positive way, you know, and say, here's your money, save it first, save it for yourself, because otherwise it's all going to go out the window between your friends socializing and, you know, all this other stuff that all these other expenses that you're racking up.
So are you in favor of creating like little buckets, like, you know, I guess for women, a shoe bucket?
Yes. I think, and we talk about this a lot on my show on Yahoo, on Financially Fit, you know, how to budget, how to save, how to save according to your goals. And I think it's really constructive to compartmentalize your savings. Say, okay, this is my savings for retirement. This is my savings for the weekends when I go out. Mm-hmm. And with our bank accounts these days, you can create various, you know, different savings accounts within one account, sort of sub-accounts that, you know, you can tap into and manage better that way as opposed to one big pot. And it's a little harder to kind of figure out, okay, how much goes to where. But yeah, certainly, I think it helps you stay organized. It's just another facet of staying organized with your money, which goes a long way in making sure that you're not compromising your other savings in order to pay for others for things that you want.
My guest is Farnoosh Torabi. She's a finance expert and author of You're So Money, Live Rich Even When You're Not. You know, I often talk about on the show, there's really only two ways to kind of get this thing fixed, and that's either you have to raise the bridge or you lower the water. Raise the bridge is get more income. Lower the water is reduce your expenses. That's how you get the ship or the boat under the bridge. So how do you lower your expenses? How do you compartmentalize your thinking to figure out, I guess, what is necessary and what is unnecessary?
Well, you have to first figure out what's important to you, and that's a conversation that young adults rarely have with themselves. You know, what are my goals? What do I want to do in 5 years? Where do I want to be professionally, personally? So you're going to have to do that soul searching as early on as possible because it's very easy to get swept up and start, you know, following the pack and not really realizing, well, what's actually important to me? And as soon as you can identify those things that are really important to you, whether it's saying to yourself, I plan to go back to school, or I plan to buy a home, or I want to get married. All of those things carry price tags. And so once you can identify those goals, I feel like you can then work backwards and then look at your expenses and say, okay, this is frivolous, this is necessary, because now you actually have a compass. And along the way, there are a lot of ways to even maintain kind of your lifestyle, but at a discount. So make sure you're calling your creditors and you're calling everywhere that you have an account, your cell phone company, your gym, your, you know, you name it, and just call them and ask them about offering you some wiggle room, your cable company, saying, I need a discount or I need to save money. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, these companies don't want to lose you. And if it means giving you a break or some breathing room for 6 months, whether it's a 10% discount or $10 off or a freebie, that will help you and that will help them. So you have to kind of negotiate these things.
What about raising the bridge? You talk about promoting your skills, try to monetize your skills,
right,
especially in this day when, you know, if you have any kind of writing ability, you can create a blog, you can take your skills and get it out on the internet and try to monetize it. What are some of the ideas that people can use there?
There's so many ways to monetize your skills. And when I wrote the book, it was actually at a time where there's a lot on the internet, but now there's even more.
Right.
And, you know, when I go out there and talk about how to monetize your skills, I'm talking about doing it virtually over the internet. You don't even have to leave your home, and you don't have to, you know, compromise your work hours to bring in more money, whether it's through pet sitting or tutoring or, you know, doing technical tasks over the internet. There are websites like Elance.com, TaskRabbit.com, Tutor.com. You know, there's obviously Craigslist, but there are a number of websites out there to help everyday people who just need to bring in a little extra bacon. Because this is something, again, that, you know, you might be cutting down all your costs and you might have a job, but you're still suffering. And that's because the cost of everything is going up.
Yeah.
Inflation is running rampant for, you know, commodities like food and gas. And so you have to figure out another way to kind of feed the beast. And that will probably for many people mean bringing in extra money. Maybe you can ask for a raise at work, but if that doesn't work out, how about, you know, pet sitting over the weekends or tutoring, you know, a foreign language if you've got a foreign language skill over the internet, or if you're a great writer, freelance writing. That's what I did when I was in my 20s. I worked at a news station, but I also freelance wrote and I babysat. And that's just what you have to do. You know, you got to piece together some income so that you can create the life and the lifestyle that you want.
We have to wrap this up, but, you know, I'm thinking about low-hanging fruit here. We're approaching tax season, right? We're coming towards the end of the year. And is there something really easy that I can do to kind of save a couple of bucks here and there?
Well, it's really about staying organized and collecting those receipts that will help you lower your taxable income. If you're somebody who is maybe having a side gig and you're bringing in some revenue from a freelance job, a lot of the expenses that you might be incurring to help you help support that job, let's say you're a freelance writer and you're subscribing to magazines and you're making phone calls to sources and you're driving around for the job. In a lot of cases, these associated costs, as long as you keep a good track record and you have the receipts and the paperwork to back it up, can help to lower your taxable income. And I think that there's one tip I could give to everybody. It's just that. It's try to itemize and you know, sometimes the standard deduction doesn't do you justice. It's better to maybe keep track of your itemized expenses and do the total, and maybe you'll probably save more that way.
All right. Well, that's a good message here. My guest is Farnoosh Torabi, finance expert, author of You're So Money, Live Rich Even When You're Not. A real pleasure to speak with you, Farnoosh. I hope to have you back.
Likewise.
Thank you. Bye-bye.